Laurie Clayton was not only a great actress,
she was a Broadway legend.
She typified every story of the small town girl who came to New York and turned into a celebrity overnight. Yes, you could sit at the bar and cook Shores or at Leon and Eddie's any night of the week and hear about Laurie and the determination which took her from the little town of Cedar Grove to Broadway and stardom. But there was more to it than that.
A quality almost strange to Broadway.
A loyalty which led her back to Cedar Grove and her old friend Anne Halliday to insist that Anne return with her to New York and have her chance, too.
Yes, it was a beautiful friendship,
and it made wonderful copy for theater columns and drama magazines. And Laurie was always willing to give interviews.
Well, I don't know, Miss Dean. I suppose I do have a wide variety of interests. Swimming and boating, of course. Riding now and then.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about marriage?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Same old thing, I suppose. Marriage versus the career.
Oh, poor Todd. He's such a dear. I suppose I haven't been quite fair to him. I don't have much time these days.
Todd? You mean Todd Wright?
Yes.
I see.
Something wrong?
Oh, of course not.
He's a very nice person. Perhaps someday, who knows? But I think we've talked enough about me, don't you? I'm so thrilled about Anne, I just can't keep it back any longer. What do you think she's done?
I don't know.
She's written a play. Isn't it marvelous? A real three-act play all by herself called Star Shadow.
Well, have you read it?
Oh, no, but I suppose it's usual amateur sort of thing. But I'm so happy for her sake.
You've done wonders for that girl, Miss Clayton. She must be very grateful.
Oh, but I don't want gratitude. I just want to help her. Oh, my migraine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I really must be going. I hope I haven't tired
you. Oh, not at all. Anne, darling.
Headache every 2 days. Regular as clockwork. There doesn't seem to be anything one can do.
Yes, Laurie?
Oh, my medicine, dear. Please hurry. Well, dear?
All right, Laurie. I'll bring it.
She is a lovely girl, isn't she?
Oh, I don't know what I'd do without her.
Well, you've been very gracious, Miss Clayton.
Oh, thank you. I'll be looking forward to the article now. Good day, Miss Dean.
Good day.
Here's your medicine.
Thank you. Oh, this is the worst ever.
You seem to be getting ruder by the day.
Oh?
You might have introduced me to that girl.
I didn't think it necessary.
You seemed rather clever. I suppose we can expect another brilliant article any day now. A variation of the same old theme. Noblesse oblige. Charity begins at home.
And why not?
Of course, why not? What irony, Laurie. What beautiful, stunning irony in this whole insane mess. Remember Cedar Grove, Laurie? I was on top then, wasn't I? I was the star, and you were the shadow. Grammar school, high school, student body offices, boyfriends. I had it all. Now,
go on.
Now it's the other way around, isn't it? I'm getting the crumbs now. Whenever you choose to toss them to me.
Mm-hmm. And they all read the drama columns in Cedar Grove.
They know you in Cedar Grove, Laurie. They know that black, vicious mind of yours because you never could conceal it as a child.
Oh, go on, dear. I'm loving
it. That's why you fail there. But you're clever now. You can hide it. Broadway doesn't know you. I don't think it ever will.
Of course, Anne, you could always go back to Cedar Grove.
No, I'll take the crumbs, darling. It's not going to be much longer, after all.
Oh, no?
No.
Of course, I almost forgot. You're a writer, aren't you? Yes, the play. You're going to be a huge success.
Stop it.
Cedar Grove, here I come. A lady playwright in the flesh. Oh, darling, darling, how can you be so utterly naive?
I said stop it.
Oh, of course. I forgot about your artistic temperament. Anne, your play won't even be read.
it will fail because no producer with an iota of common sense could fight his way through the first act. I haven't read it. I don't know what it's about. I only know it will follow the rules. Dull, stupid people write dull, stupid plays. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must get ready for dinner.
You'd better hurry. Todd's picking you up at 6.
How did you know I was dining with Todd?
You know, I think I'll let you find that out for yourself.
With the prologue of Star Shadow, the Signal Oil Company brings you another strange tale by the Whistler. Broadway in the theater world, it's a wholesome, wonderful loyalty to the girl you grew up with in Cedar Grove. But to you, it's beautiful in an entirely different way. It's retribution, a feeling of triumph, of complete crushing victory over Anne, a feeling of looking down on her from a dizzy height and watching her grovel and beg for crumbs, just as you were forced to do during those dismal young years in Cedar Grove when Anne was on top. You leave her in the apartment, and shortly after 6, you join Todd Wright in a little restaurant on 58th Street for dinner. Todd is drama critic on the Bulletin, and someday, when you get around to it, you plan to marry her.
More champagne, Laurie?
Oh, thank you, darling. You're awfully quiet, Todd.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be.
You said there was something special about tonight. What is it?
Are you ready?
What do you mean?
Brace yourself, sweetheart. Gilbert Shaw is going to produce Anne's play.
What?
Well, I thought you'd be pleased.
Well, of course I'm pleased.
She brought it to me last week. I sat up till midnight reading it, grabbed a taxi and took it over to Shaw, and he finished it at 4 a.m. Have you read it?
I know. I didn't think... Well, naturally, Anne's a complete amateur.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. That play will run 3 years, maybe more. You know, neither Shaw nor myself could understand where in the world Anne got hold of those characters.
Go on.
Sarge hasn't told you more about it. It's the story of a jealousy, Laurie. A vicious, insidious hatred between two women. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, that's the point, you see. Star, shadow. One of them's on top, the star. The other's the shadow down at the bottom.
And what happened?
Oh, it's very simple. The shadow ends up on the top and the star down at the bottom.
I see.
But it's hard to understand where Anne got hold of it. It's so real, Laurie. How an idea like that could take root and grow in the middle of a friendship like the two of you have for each other is more than I can understand.
Yes. I wonder why she never took me into her confidence.
Oh, first attempt. Probably a little embarrassed about it.
And Gilbert Shaw is going to do it.
Yep, casting now. Rehearsal begins next Monday. Opening in Boston the 25th.
I'm surprised Gilbert hasn't called me. I'm reading a couple of other things, you know.
Say, it'd be wonderful if you could do it. What a story. Fusion of two great talents. The playwright and the actress. Bosom pals and all that.
What do you mean, if I could do it?
Well, they're talking about you now. Anne wants to decide on the star.
Oh.
Well, that's it. Shall we drink to it?
All right.
To October 25th. A very important night in two respects.
Two?
Yeah. It's the night the play opens, and it's the night Anne and I are going to be married. Drink up, Laurie.
Yes, Todd. Drink up.
Hello, darling. Have a nice dinner.
Sweet of you to wait up for me. It's almost midnight.
It's worth waiting up for.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Headache.
Probably genuine this time. Sit down, Laurie. I'd like to talk about my dull, stupid play.
If you don't mind, I'll wait till tomorrow.
I said sit down. You need a good play pretty badly, Laurie, after 3 flops in a row.
Oh, very well.
I haven't decided yet whether or not you do. And I've been so wrong. I don't know how I can say it, how I can ever make you believe me. I've misjudged you so.
Go on, dear. I'm loving.
All I can say is that I'm sorry. That from now on it's going to be different. But now I need your help. I must have that thought, Anne. It means everything to me.
It doesn't become you to grovel, Laurie. This takes us right back to Cedar Grove, doesn't it? It's the part of a sadistic, cruel woman, Laurie. And you can have it because you won't even have to act. It's a portrait of you, right down to the claws.
There's nothing I can say, I guess.
No.
Oh,
your headache.
Yes. Oh, Anne, would you mind getting my medicine?
Get it yourself.
No, Laurie, it doesn't become you to grovel. But that's only the means to an end, isn't it? Yes, you had to have that part. The success or failure of Anne's play must be built around you. The rehearsals begin and you work hard. It makes great copy for the newspapers. The beautiful friendship has produced something really great. The playwright and the actress working side by side. And everything's dependent on you, on your performance on opening night. Then, on the day of the final rehearsal, on October 24th, you make your move. It's 3 p.m. when Anne races into the apartment to find you in bed.
Laurie! Laurie, where are you?
Here. What's the matter? Why aren't you at rehearsal? They're all waiting down there.
I'm sorry.
Why are you in bed?
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? I'm ill.
What are you talking about?
I'm awfully sorry, darling. Afraid I'm not going to make it.
But the play, Laurie. It won't open. Mr. Taylor's all engaged, everything.
The play must go on. That's something I always wondered about, Anne.
Tried and true axiom.
Come flood, come fire. The play must go on.
Why?
Laurie. Laurie, darling, you can't. You can't do this to me, don't you see? It means everything. It's a good play. They all said so. You can't let me down now.
Why don't you postpone it?
Already told you we can't. There's no understudy. Remember, you refused to work with an understudy.
That's why you did it, isn't it, Laurie? That's why you refused to have an understudy. It was all in your mind then, the night you begged me for the part.
Was it?
Laurie, I wouldn't believe you could stoop this. Not even you.
Oh, you're jumping at conclusions. Dr. Harding was just here and told me I had to have complete rest for at least 6 months.
He's been telling you that for years. You never paid any attention to
it. Well, it's high time I did. And, about stooping low, Anne, dear. That was a rather sordid trick you pulled with Todd, don't you think?
He loves me. Nothing sordid about that.
Too bad you agreed to marry him. You see, there's where you made a bad mistake.
That hurt you, didn't it?
Yes. It did. I guess I'm in love with him. It's a little hard to realize that tomorrow night he'll be yours.
Oh?
You know, I can't think of anything that would make me happier than to have you decide it was just an unfortunate mistake, Anne. That perhaps it would be wise to call off the marriage.
What?
It might even make me feel better. A lot better.
Mr. Ray, I'm okay.
Who's calling?
This is the lady we talked to last night.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I've decided to go ahead with it.
Okay. What about the money?
I'll put $5,000 in cash in the mail tonight. General delivery. It should be there in the morning.
All right, shoot.
She'll be going out Highway 27 tomorrow night around 9. Alone in a car. It's got to happen then. And it's got to be an ordinary auto accident. In every way, is that clear?
All my accidents are ordinary accidents, lady. That's why I get such big fees. So forget that and just tell me where I can find her. I'll take care of the rest.
How do you know when she leaves?
The minute she walks out of the door, you call me here. Cranbrook 8889.
All right. Now listen carefully. I'll describe the car again. It's a black coupe.
Yes, Laurie, you're on top again. And there's a warm, triumphant feeling inside you as you lean back in bed and think about it. There'll be no play and no marriage. The efficient Mr. Riando will see to that. Todd arrives an hour later to plead with you, but he doesn't get very far.
But I told you I'm sorry, Todd. There's no other way.
You're sorry? Do you realize what you're doing to that girl?
Oh, will you stop this stupid argument? I tell you, the doctor has ordered me...
Oh, all right, all right. You win. Where's the phone? I've got to call Shaw.
Right here on the stand.
And what's the doctor's address? I'm going to see him.
270 Madison Avenue.
Oh, wait, I better write that down. Where's a piece of paper? Oh, here. 270 Madison. Yeah. I'm going to check that doctor, all right? If there's any way that he can possibly get you in shape. Hello? Hello, Shaw. Todd. Yeah, it's all off. No, no dice. Well, I just talked to her. Yeah, tell the cast to go home.
And you don't worry about the doctor, Laurie. Todd only finds out what you already told him. That it's no use. Yes, you're a good actor. The doctor believes it, too. So you're all ready for Anne on the next night when she comes for her things.
Well, all packed, darling?
Yes.
I hope you and Todd are very happy, of course.
Playing it right up to the hilt, aren't you?
Oh, no, no, I mean it. Of course, it's a pretty vain hope at that. You won't be really happy. You couldn't be.
And why not?
You're only going through with it for one reason, Anne. You know it's the one weapon you have left now. You never loved him, did you? Why don't you admit it, Anne? Why don't you come right out and say it?
All right. So I don't love him. And I never did. Does that make you feel better? Or worse?
It doesn't matter now.
Well, I'm going. I left your medicine for you on the nightstand. You'll probably experience a miraculous cure during the night.
Thank you. And goodbye, darling.
Yes?
I'm going to miss you.
Goodbye, Laurie.
Operator.
Operator. Get me Cranbrook. 8889.
Your friendship with Anne Halliday was a beautiful one. From its early days in the little town of Cedar Grove to its tragic end on Broadway. Beautiful, at least, as it appeared in the newspapers. As theater people talked of it in respectful, hushed tones in the bars around Times Square. Of course, it's not important to you now, is it? But perhaps it's best that the only one who ever discovered what lay beneath the surface was Todd Wright. He'd been waiting for Anne on that night of October 25th at his home in Freeport. She'd been over 2 hours late when the phone rang.
Hello?
Mr. Wright?
Yes?
I've bad news for you, Mr. Wright.
What do you mean, bad news?
Well, it's your fiancée, Miss Halliday.
What happened?
I'm calling from the Highway Patrol headquarters. There's been an accident.
Accident?
Yeah. She was killed a half hour ago in a car crash on Highway 27.
It stopped him cold, Laurie. He really loved her. For a full minute after he hung up the receiver, all he could do was stand there, stunned. Then he fumbled in his pocket for a cigarette, pulled out the package, and with it, the paper he'd written Dr. Harding's office address on the night before in your apartment.
Cranbrook 8889. That number. Cranbrook 8889. What if I... Down at the paper. A trial or something.
Operator.
Operator, give me Cranbrook 8889, please.
something in his past, Laurie. A story he'd covered for the paper months ago. He found out all he needed to know the minute Riando answered. An hour later, he'd arrived at your apartment. But you didn't answer the door, did you? So he broke in the window from the fire escape landing outside. Laurie? Laurie, where are you? That's when he found you, Laurie, lying peacefully in bed, almost as if you were asleep, with your medicine on the nightstand next to you.
Why, yes, we were open all night.
This is important. You've got to remember, you were the only one on duty here in the drugstore last night.
Yes.
No one else? No one in the pharmacy department?
That's right.
All right. Now, who did you sell this poison to?
Let me see.
Think. Try to remember.
Yes, it was that girl.
A girl, huh?
Yes, a tall blonde girl in a red coat. I remember she came in about 9.
Oh. Okay. Is her name anywhere on a register or anything?
No, I don't think so.
How would you like to forget about it?
What?
For $500. Right here. Cash.
Well...
You never saw her. You don't remember who you sold the poison to. It's an ordinary kind. You don't have to show on the register. What about it?
Yes, that's fair enough. I'll forget about it.
The first shock had begun to wear off as Todd left the drugstore and walked quickly toward the office of the bulletin, trying to put the words together in his mind that were going to appear in his column the next morning. He was sure of his facts, at least. Anne had bought the poison, had carefully prepared the capsule of headache medicine on the dressing table. That the two of you had died at each other's hands, miles apart, at almost the same moment. It was late that night, as Todd sat before his typewriter, that the words began to come, slowly at first and then faster.
Working late, eh, Mr. Wright?
Yeah.
That was tough about them two girls. Just talking to the missus about it before I come to work.
Yeah. Guess everybody's talking about it, Eddie.
Yeah, kind of knock us both off of our pins. They were great kids, weren't they? Both of them.
Yeah. Great kids. Listen to this, Eddie. Last paragraph. So the story of Laurie Clayton and Anne Halliday... is a story that doesn't come often to Broadway. It's a tragedy in the sense that the death of her lifelong friend left Laurie unable to face the future alone. But in a larger sense, it's a story of inspiration, the story of a devotion and a loyalty that knew no bounds. A truly beautiful friendship. How's that?
Sure, that's it, all right. You know, Mr. Wright, in a hard-boiled city like New York, it takes something like that to give a guy the faith.